Hallelujah. God bless you. Matthew chapter 19 from verse 13. I read verse 13, 14, and 15. Matthew chapter 19. Let's be on our feet. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 19. Then we are brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Please be seated. Amen. And just a little exhortation that I titled The Childlike Faith. The Childlike Faith. One thing we have opportunity to see, to learn here on a day where we give focus to children like this in the ministry, is also to learn the Christian faith from them. Jesus Christ made that statement when he says, for of such, he says, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Please, I'll be emphasizing something so that we get the picture clearer and clearer. So you see, the emphasis in verse 14 is not the children. The emphasis there is about your character, your attitude that enables you to remain in the kingdom of heaven. And so he said, is of such. So he brought them to use them to teach us something about the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? When he say of such is the kingdom of heaven, what is that kingdom? Romans chapter 14, verse 17, verse 18, and verse 19. This is the way he put it. Romans, he said, for the kingdom of God is not food, it's not meat and drink. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. See what he said? For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And so, what is the kingdom of God? It is not what you eat, it is not what you drink. It is your ability to live a life that is pleasing before God, that is righteousness. And the estate with which you so live your life until you are in an estate of peace all around you and joy. And remember, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace even with his enemies. And he took the children again in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, and I read it from verse 1. He says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. He wants to answer the question the disciples ask him, who is the greatest? What is saying the greatest there? That is, what is the highest estate of your Christian faith. What is it that determines your greatness? And please listen very well, because it's a Bible study. These things are there to teach us some things. Today, we look at people who are great in the kingdom as people who have anointing that can cast out devils. Those who gather large number of people in their ministry, we call them great, because they perform miracles, signs and wonders. Therefore, you call them great. But by Bible definition, who is the greatest? And you want to explain the greatest now by Christ himself definition. He said he called a little child unto him, verse 2, and set him in the midst of them. Put them in the middle of his disciples and said, verse 3, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. Except you be converted. Are you converted? How many people are converted here? You're a Christian. Can I see your hand up? Wave your hand. Yes, now I once was lost and now I'm found. I was a sinner. I am born again. So you can say you are converted. But it's not enough that you are converted. This is the estate of your conversion. And please, it is a scriptural standard. Christ will not accept anything less. So it's better you listen to it for your Christian progress, your spiritual progress. He said, except you be converted and become us. You become us. So he's not talking about that child. There is only something about that child that he wants us to learn. Except you are converted and become as little children, you become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven except you are converted. Hallelujah. It is important I stress that. Amen. And so, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Let's look at the child now. Let's look at the child now. Let's learn a few things now from the child that God expects us to be converted to be like. He says, even a child is known by his doings. Whether his work be pure and whether it be right. So a child is known by his doings. So it is not you. A child doesn't say, hey, I am a child. Hey, I am a child. We know you are a child by the things that you do. Hallelujah. Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let's take it verse 1 again. Verse 1 again. That is the identity of a child. Hallelujah. The heart is not haughty, no pride. The eyes are not lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. I stay at my level. Surely, I have behaved, verse 2. Hallelujah. Surely, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. And mothers will understand what a weaned child looks like, how he acts. Praise the Lord. And verse 4 of Matthew chapter 18, the characteristic of a child. Amen. Verse 4. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, that is, for you to be great in the kingdom of heaven, amen, hallelujah, you have to be as humble as a little child. So, we have assignment now. You have something now to be, to use as a mirror of your Christian life, Christian growth, Christian estate. The little child. That mirror is the little child. Try to go and study the little child. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. He emphasized there, he said, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So the Bible expects us that when it comes to keeping malice, that is the characteristic of a child. A child does not keep malice. You know, it doesn't keep malice. Amen. So let's come home now. You say you're a Christian, you're holding somebody in your heart for months, some say for years, and keeping malice. But a child, amen, we know now, we know, he will fight with his little child, friend. And when the two parents are there fighting and not talking to each other, you look through the window, the two people that are the cause of your fight, they are there playing again. Okay now. And then you malicious mother, you be lock him in the room. Don't go to my neighbor's child again. Don't play with him again. You hear? They are bad, they are evil. The child will look at you. As soon as you turn your back, he has forgotten what you told him. He's back there again. Doesn't have room for that in his heart. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, is another advice that Peter was giving us as Christians. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and verse 3. He said, wherefore, he says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, all evil speakings. You find this in a child. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And verse 3, if so be ye have tested that the Lord is good. Praise the Lord. Malice should not be found among us as a Christian. Fight it if you find any room for it in your heart. Learn from a child. A child is ever trusting and ever believing. Once he identifies his father, his mother, he believes there is nothing he needs that his father cannot provide for him. He believes there is nothing he needs that his mother cannot give him. And he believes his father is the strongest man on earth. He believes his father, no matter how short his father is, he can bring down Goliath. He believes so. And that is how Christians are supposed to have the kind of faith that trusts God. Because you have a father. The songwriter believes it. That's why I say, I have a very big God. He's always by my side. Hallelujah. That's how we're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. A little child does not pretend. There's no pretext there. You don't know children to be pretending. Who they are is what you see. Oh, glory be to God. And that is why the mother, the parents, can tell the future from now by the way he behaves. And you predict correctly. Amen. No pretense. And the child has no hypocrisy in him. He's no hypocrite. Oh, glory be to God. And take note. that a child is always happy. Whenever he knows his father is around, his mother is around, he is always happy. The only time you see him sad is if his mother or father is not around. But when they are around, he feels a sense of security, therefore he is always happy. That's why the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to verse 5 of Matthew chapter 18. Take note of what he's now saying. It's important. Amen. He says, And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. You know, it's one very interesting religion that I have seen. And that religion is the Catholic, Roman Catholic religion. That's the scripture that makes their leader the Pope. Anywhere he goes, he will carry little baby and be kissing. Remember that he believes he's a representative of Christ. So what he saw Christ doing is what he too he is doing. The only thing he doesn't know is that Christ did not have a uniform. Hallelujah. The only thing he doesn't see is that Christ did not have a crown on his head. Amen. The only thing he didn't see, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. See, and many of us follow that same interpretation because you don't study to rightly divide the word of truth. You don't study the Bible, you read the Bible. Don't read the Bible. There's something here you should study and catch. He is not talking about that little child that he brought. He is saying something here. Verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. So you go and you want to receive Christ, then you go and receive God carrying your small children. They kiss them. They walk out, but baby, you are receiving Christ, Abby. That's not the meaning of that statement. Remember, he brought the child and said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, in this verse, he's saying, what he's actually saying here is that any Christian that descends to this level and gets converted into the estate of this child, hallelujah, when you receive such a Christian that is converted to that level, you have received Christ. The way you are dealing with that child, you are, in essence, you know, dealing with Christ. The way you relate with a converted Christian that's been converted, he believes all things, he's simple-minded, he is ever trusting, he is just a baby, you know, ever happy, and you know, just believe. Since you go to the same church, you call upon Jesus, you must be my brother, you be my sister, and he gets off guard, and then he let loose and trust in you, and you go. When you receive such, he say, you receive Christ. Take note. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, then he added, But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, you see now, oh glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Before I come to this, remember in verse 5, he said, you receive any of them, you receive me. Abi, he emphasized it again in Matthew chapter 10. Let's finish that before we go to the but. before we go to but, chapter 10, verse 41 and verse 42. This is the way he put it. Reward. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Verse 42, my emphasis. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So there is a blessing attached. Amen. A blessing, or rather a reward. A reward. Apostle Paul called it just recompense of reward. He called it just recompense of reward. So it is all reward. It is all reward. Depending on what you give that person. If you give him a cup of water, if you give him a cup of water because you believe he's a Christian, he said, it will not go, you will not lose your reward. There is a blessing that follows it. But you know, let's go to Matthew 18 again. Now, he said, but, verse 6, but whoso shall offend. The offense here is hot. If you will hurt, whoso shall offend, hurt one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone, grinding stone, where women they use for kitchen, were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. It is better that you go and die by drowning, that wicked type of death. Imagine that a stone is tied and you are thrown in the depth of a sea. You will drown there, and you know, imagine what you suffer before you even die. He said that type of death is better than what is awaiting you by God. Now people don't study Bible, they come to church, they act anyhow. Do you know people come to church and steal from brothers and sisters who believe that everybody sitting is my brother and my sister, and so why should I, you know, particularly take, you know, care of anything? If I drop it, no problem. I'll come and meet it. I don't expect that a Christian, everybody will be like me. And then the person came to worship God, and then he's going back crying. What happened? They thief my phone. What happened? They thief my bag. You have hurt that person. You have hurt that person. And he's saying that it's better. The punishment that is awaiting you, the certainty of it. You see, I'm telling you, if we study our Bible, we'll become better Christians than some of us are. A lot of people, you want to be spiritual, and you think you want to be spiritual by going to the mountain, by doing dry fasting. No. There is a life to live to make your fasting to be effective. There's a life to live. The power behind Christian character is far more than the power that you get from dry fasting exercise anywhere. You will not need to fast, hallelujah, to get what you are looking for when you have a life you are already living that is pleasing before God. People don't catch it. People go to church and even pray wicked prayer against one another. People come to church and they are jealous of one another. Give them people are making competition.
pastors are making competition. This person is coming. You want to come and take my position? You want to come and take my position? They will carry your name and go to a mountain and go to one prayer house and send, you know, teams to pray. What they happen? They get one minister where they come up and say, "Well, take my position." Me, I come this church. You know, I come yesterday. Now they give microphone now. Now they lead the song now. And they sing. For the church. You know you are not a Christian. You are actually a witch. That is the spirit of witchcraft. It's on you and you don't know it. You are a witch calling upon the name of Jesus. You are a witch that has been baptized in the name of Jesus, speaking in tongue. A witch. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He is my friend. Show me Jesus. Where is he? Where did the Bible say Jesus is? Point Jesus to me. Point him. You are pointing it very easily now. If you are pointing this by revelation, it will also reflect on the way you behave with that person. And still claim you love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." What he's saying is, yes, children of God, listen, they will hurt us. We will be offended. You can imagine that somebody will go to church and go to the pastor. A sister, go to the pastor for counseling, and the pastor will begin to chase her, lust after her, force her, trick her, even drug her to sleep with her. The next thing you will see that girl do is, she will never believe there is any true man of God again. You have stumbled her faith. It happens. He believes you to be a Christian brother. Believes you to be a Christian sister. Then he entrusts something on you. He employs you to work for him because he's sure the business is covered. Only to see the opportunity you have, you wreck the business down. The next thing the person will say, "There are no Christians. I bet I don't want to have anything to do with brother." Somebody has borrowed money, lent money from a brother in this church. To then, you know, gave him money, what do you call it? Bought keke for him. He didn't have a job. He said, "Okay, I'll buy keke for you. Then be giving me money. I mean, pay me small, small." 5 years after, shishi he didn't bring. When he was asking him, he left this church, changed from this church, went to Shomolu. He went there to meet him. "Brother, even church, we know they see you again. My money in call." You know what he told him? He said, brother, Abba, God has blessed you now. Now this one, now they worry you, they disturb us. Are you not my brother? The man was so shocked. The brother was so shocked, he didn't answer him again. He just turned, he said, "God bless you." Because it is sure now. It is sure. Praise the Lord. Another brother in that same church that owes me money. He owes me 300,000 more than 7 years ago. Then he relocated from this church. I went there. So I sent him a text. I said, "You don't talk anything about this money where they owe me now." He replied. He said, "Sure, for sure, the bride of Christ will not go in the rapture until all debts are settled." So I am to wait before rapture, he will pay me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I was just trying to be mischievous. The truth about it is that I knew he was not in a position to pay. And even when I gave him that money, no, he said, the 300 naira that you willingly gave me shall surely be returned before the rapture. The truth is that I was only giving him to help me for his business. But, you know, I had made up my mind. I had dashed him. So it was so funny. And I had to show his friend, who is sitting on the minister's seat here now. I said, see what your friend. So anytime I want to taunt him, I'll meet his friend. I say, tell your friend. They say, the rapture will soon come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is the certainty that we will have such occasions where it will hurt us. But, you know, I just want you, my emphasis is not even that group of people. My emphasis is those of us here to know how to relate with these people and also God's expectation of how we are supposed to comport ourselves. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you are not influence these people. Those of us who have been old in the faith, when they come to us, when they come to church, when they come to, you know, among us like this, they look up to us. They know that you have been a Christian for long. So naturally, they will want to follow you to learn Christian virtues, to learn more about the Christian character. That is why they come close to you. And when they see, maybe they are also operating a gift, that they see you operating, there is a tendency to come close to you so that you too will build them up. You are a preacher, they will always come for Bible study. You are a prophet, they always come to you, come close to you, believing that you are old there, you bring them up. If they come to you and you cause them to stumble, you cause them to stumble. He says it's better, go and kill yourself than what is awaiting you. I'm not the one saying it, it's the Bible. Praise the Lord. That is a warning for us. We also have a sacred responsibility as parents. Pastor Weston took time last week to speak to us. We have a sacred responsibility. These children that have been given to us, God gave them to us, and there is an expectation from God concerning their upbringing, and God will require it from us. We will stand before the judgment seat of God, every parent, and you are going to answer before God how you brought up the child that God gave you. It is a requirement. It's a scriptural requirement. And he gave us a guide. Proverbs chapter 22. The popular scripture. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, train up. Because it is our responsibility to train. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Your responsibility, train him up the way he should go. So which way are you training your child? That will determine the way he will go, she will go. And always remember that children are easily influenced. It is easy for them to learn good or bad. Anything you teach a child, that is the way he will grow. Hallelujah. They can be very easily influenced. Very easily. So be careful the things you do around them. They have that nature, little children. Let me use an example. You will notice the people who leave Africa and migrate to Europe, migrate to America. You will notice that if you migrate as an old man and in old age, you know that your tongue will not change. Your English remains the same with Igbo accents, a heavy one behind it. Even if he wants to talk like them, it will be acting. You know, he was acting. If you vex him, he will be himself immediately. So you say, you know. But a little child, take a child of 2 years old and let him stay there and grow. By the time he's up to 10 years old, when he's speaking, you would think it's a white man that is speaking. Big influence. And I confirmed this. I think about 2 years ago or so, I say, my family traveled to America and spent 2 months in America. My little daughter that was 3 years old, 2 months, because of the families they were associated with there, the other children. 2 months, she changed. She was talking like an American. Before she came back to her school here in Festac, I met other Akuruka children. And she changed there. And so she come back here too. She changed. Praise the Lord. That is little children for you. They grow to become what they see in their environment. Oh, glory be to God. They learn more from what they see that shape up their character than what they hear. What they see, they are very, very impressionable. Whatever they see, the adults doing, it means it is good. Whatever they see, and the person they have the most confidence in is the father and the mother. Whatever they see the father doing, the mother doing, that is good. If it's not good, daddy will not do it. Mommy will not do it. And don't tell them, see what I am doing. You see me drinking beer now. Don't follow me and drink beer. Junior, don't drink beer. If it's not good for you, if it's not good for me, why is it good for you? That didn't lie. Something dead there. Daddy doesn't want me to enjoy like him. Curiosity, when you go out finish, you open the fridge and take that beer and chuck. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's the truth now. Don't you see our children, the type of dance they dance here when they are dancing? Where did they see? Now for nightclub they see them. Now for here. All the Abriba dance, you people are dancing here. All the Ohavia dance, you people are dancing here. All those Awilo dance, you people are dancing here. All the Makosa, you people are dancing here. All of them, all! When they go finish, they will go home and be learning it. Every opportunity, we see that they will rush to the front here and dance. Where did they learn it from? From what they see. Informal. Praise the Lord. So, there are things they learn from home. Father and mother are always quarreling. It means to quarrel is good. They will learn and they will become better than you. Quarrel. Praise the Lord. Hatred. Everything they see around you is hatred. You speak evil of neighbors, speak evil of this, speak evil of that. The way you are treating your housemaid, your house help, your driver, they are there watching. And so Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 tells us that we should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says so. Bring them to God. Let them be interested in the things of God. Let them be interested in spiritual things. Hallelujah. Do you know there are parents that get angry when their children love to go for church activities? The youth leader has to come here to be begging parents to release their children to come for programs in the church. You should be happy when your child is interested in the things of the Spirit. Encourage them. Hallelujah. And make your Christian faith interesting. Don't make your Christianity unattractive to them. There are so many of us that have too many laws. Anyway, Pastor Weston has spoken in that area too. Make your faith interesting. Why should your child grow up, father Christian, mother Christian, actively involved in church, then your child will stop going to church when he grows up? Why? It means there's something wrong in your presentation of your faith. Let them understand why the woman will not paint her face. Why you are leaving your hair natural. Why you are... Let it not be by commandment. Learn to explain things to them. Learn to reason with them. Everything, command, 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 command. A child is sleepy. We are going to do midnight prayer. The child is sleepy. Then you go and wake him with the cane. Clap your hands. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we... Clap your hands. Jesus, we are here. We are... Junior, the devil that is in you. We are praying, you are sleeping. The devil, oh, this boy will finish me. He's not interested in prayer. Mommy. He will hate your Christianity. If he is sleepy, leave him to sleep. Change it. Before going to sleep, do your prayers with him. Or wait, when he wakes up, then do your prayers. Make the Christian faith interesting. Some people don't make the Christian faith interesting. Some of you don't believe that your children, enter message believer, that you should watch television. It should not be by commandment to tell your child in this age that he should not watch TV. You have to explain to him. It's not enough for you to say, Brother Abraham say, Brother Abraham say. Now you, Brother Abraham, tell him. Brother Abraham, not tell him. So you need to explain it. How you got the revelation, let him or her also get the same revelation. But above all, remember, with your effort, you can't do it. For without God, you can do nothing. You can achieve nothing. Pray regularly. Regularly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it is in your own interest that you pray for them to be what you desire them to be. Pray so that God will intervene. Always remember that you will reap what you sow as far as those children are concerned. Always remember, you will either enjoy those children when they grow up, or when they grow up, what you sow in them, you will also reap it. So it's important. It's important. The truth about it is that if you did not bring up your child in any of this worldly, stupid, immoral lifestyle and criminal lifestyle, you know you did your best. When that child wants to go that way, if you go to the Lord in prayer, it is easier for that child to be restored than when you did not bring them up the way God expected you to. Then you begin to cry. This one is putting my name to shame. Putting my name to shame. Putting my name to shame. What did you do to guarantee that he will not put your name to shame? Praise the Lord. Finally, I got a little write-up that I felt I should read it to you. It says, how to inspire manners in your children. It's a post somebody sent to me, and it was very timely. I said, I will share it with the whole church. How to inspire, you know, manners in your children. This is the way. The wisdom, the writer brought it up. Number one, listen very well. He said, when entering the house, greet your children or even hug them. He said, this should help develop their sense of love and self-worth. Do you know there are some parents that immediately they enter house to your tents, or he said, you don't come. If you're a parent here and you have children, and your children are not excited when you come home, change. Something is wrong. It will not help them. Some of you, your children are praying that you should go out. They will come and ask you, Daddy, you are not going out today. Number two, he said, be good to your neighbors and never backbite. Be good to them. Never speak ill of other drivers when on the road. Your children listen, absorb, and emulate. There are some of you, every time you are in the car driving and going, everybody for road and abuse. See this idiot. Pa, get out. Idiot. Your children are in the car. They try other driver, drive anyhow, abuse. I know, I have seen so many. There are people that have that type of nature. And you do that even in the presence of your children, you are teaching them how to relate with the society. When driving them to school, maybe say school or anywhere you are driving them to, when driving them to school, he said, don't always play albums or CDs in the car. He said, rather, don't put on anything. Tell them the stories yourself. This will have a greater impact. What he said here is, when you are driving, stop putting this. Begin to tell them stories. Tell them. Speak. Say it. Let it come from you. Anything coming from you has more effect than listening to the tape. Amen. Number five. Read to them a short story and even a scripture a day. Every day. Make it a duty to sit down and be telling them, read some story to them, and even read scripture at least once a day. It doesn't take much time, but it's very impactful in creating strong bonds and wonderful memories. When they grow up, they will remember the time that mommy or daddy used to gather us together and we've been telling stories. You'll be reading Bible, you'll be reading, you know. Oh, some of us, we had such mothers. Up to now, you still remember, they are very memorable days. Do so also for your child. Number six, see another one. He said, comb your hair, clean your teeth, and wear presentable clothes, even if sitting at home and not going out for the day. They need to learn that being clean and tidy has nothing to do with going out. So don't only, when you are at home, you dress anyhow. From morning, because you're not going home, you woke up, a woman, she's going to take her first bath for the day, 4 o'clock. All the tiny wrapper throughout for house. Why? I'm not going out today, now waiting. I'm not going anywhere today, now waiting. Yeah, the time that when that your girl gets married, she repeats the same thing, the husband will complain. What is this? Because he knew her, brought up only when she was going, anytime she was coming to visit him, she looked very neat. That's all she knew. And that's all she was taught. But how to stay at home and still remain clean at home, she didn't see her parents doing that. Stop it. There are some people, if you stumble to their house, bam, 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 you hear the mama shouting, who be that? Oh? Who be that? Oh? The reason they ask is, I don't dress well. Amen. It's Pastor Moses. Hey! This man, hey, if you see me, you go preach him. And if I see you, I go preach. So I'm warning you now. If I enter your house, wait till I see there, now I go preach. I not be prophet. Now wait till I see with my eye, koro koro, now I get message. Number 7, try not to blame or comment on every word or action they say or do. I repeat, try not to blame or comment on every word or action they say or do. Learn to overlook and let go sometimes. This certainly builds their self-confidence. Don't put up an action that anything they do, they are waiting to see. You go comment now. Whether I do and correct, I don't do and correct. There are mothers that are like that. There are fathers that are like that. Everything done, there is a comment for it. Even the way they drink water. Why they drink water like that? That is how I drink. As they drink, and they hear the noise. Should you drink like that? So you make them to lose their confidence. Number 8. It says, ask your children. This is very important. This point is very important. Ask your children's permission before entering their rooms. Don't just knock and enter, but then wait for a verbal permission. They will learn to do the same when wanting to enter your room. Teach them. It's mannerism you are teaching them. Pam, pam, pam. Yes, who is that? It's daddy. It's mommy. Can I come in? Yes, come in. He will do the same thing for your room. He will do the same thing anywhere he goes. You are teaching them manners. I want to walk so I go catch them. Whether they do anything bad. Okay, you go lock the door now. You knock, you finish. The door lock. The door lock. When you open, finish. What are you doing inside that you lock the door? Then you begin to search and search and search. Number 9. A very important point also. Apologize to your children if you made a mistake. I think Pastor Weston mentioned it last week. Apologize to your children if you made a mistake. Apologizing teaches them to be humble and polite. Yes. Number 10. Don't be sarcastic or make fun of their views or feelings. Even if you didn't mean it and you were only joking, it hurts them. It really hurts. Amen. So don't stop making sarcastic, statements and things like that. Making fun of their views. They are coming and thinking they are saying something intelligent. Then you say, see this dundee. See this fool. So as you talk, so how you think of your head? Dundee. It hurts them. He said, don't do that. There are 13 of them. Number 11. Show respect to your children's privacy. They are entitled to it. It's important for their sense of value and self-esteem. And number 12. Don't expect that they will listen or understand the first time you speak to them. Don't take it personal, but be patient and consistent. Keep saying it. Keep correcting it. Keep doing it. If they don't catch it now, they will catch it later. Don't be impatient. And number 13, finally, it says, pray with them. Show them how to pray. Lead by example. Lead by example. It will follow them. And may the Lord help us to bring up our children the godly way in the name of Jesus.